In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Normally on a Sunday, when you give a sermon, you try to stick with one topic. But sometimes, when you have multiple things going on, we have our graduation, we have after Mass confirmation, and we also have all of the faithful here, we like to speak about something that we can speak of in common, something that pertains to everyone. And this morning, I'd like to talk about grace. What is grace? You know, it's not something that we can see. How often you might see in a picture, perhaps the imitation of Christ that's illustrated, a man kneeling in prayer in church, and he got these rays of light coming down from heaven. No, we don't see that. Grace is something invisible, something spiritual. But even though it's something invisible, it's certainly something that we can see manifested in the lives of those who receive God's grace. Grace is a wonderful thing, God's help. There are two types of grace. One is sanctifying grace, the life of God in our soul. We know when God made Adam, He took the slime of the earth and He breathed into that slime and formed it into Adam, and He breathed into him life. And one of the greatest gifts, the greatest gift that God gave Adam and Eve was sanctifying grace, that life of God in their soul. But there's also what we call actual grace, where God helps us at that moment. And how wonderfully, when we think of Christ, He established the seven sacraments. The seven sacraments are outward signs of invisible grace. We, like I say, cannot see grace, but Christ, knowing that, He instituted outward ceremonies to signify the graces that would be given to the soul. And I know many of you are very much aware of baptism, when the priest pours the water and says the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Outwardly, we see the water flowing over the forehead and hearing the words, but inwardly, the soul is washed from original sin, and sanctifying grace comes for the first time. Our Lord knew our weakness, and in his mercy, He instituted the sacrament of penance, confession. He gave to His apostles and their successors the power to forgive sins. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I send you. Receive the Holy Ghost, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them." We also know our Lord at the Last Supper, He took bread and wine, and He said, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. Take ye and eat." And our Lord, before He spoke of this wonderful sacrament of the Eucharist, we know that prior to that He worked a miracle. He fed, with a few loaves of bread, thousands of people. And then He said He would give them a bread that would make them live forever, and that bread would be His flesh for the life of the world. The Jews at that time said, "This is a hard saying. Who can comprehend this?" Jesus didn't change, didn't say, "Hey, you misunderstood." He said more emphatically, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you will not have life in you. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed." And we also know about confirmation, that when a soul is confirmed, the Holy Ghost comes upon them in a very special manner to strengthen them to be strong and perfect Christians and soldiers of Christ. And the sacrament is given by the anointing of the forehead with chrism and the imposition of hand, together with the form, "I sign thee with the sign of the cross, and I confirm thee with the chrism of salvation, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." But getting back to this idea of grace, like I say, it's not something we can see, but we can see it manifested in the souls of others. And I'd like to tell you a couple of examples. One example, and this is when we travel throughout the United States, we're visiting a church that we hadn't been ever. First time at this church. And There's going to be confirmations on Sunday after Mass. So on Saturday evening, I was picked up at the airport by a couple. We had dinner together, and I got to talking to them about their family. And they mentioned about their daughter. Their daughter was, I think, 22, 23 at the time. And they said she really needs prayer. She's onto drugs. She stopped going to church. And her life's a mess. I said, I don't come here very often. I wouldn't mind visiting her. She had home. She have an apartment. Well, maybe, but she's probably working. She works as a waitress. I said, well, let's go see her at her restaurant. I'll be happy just to say hello and maybe just put a good little word in. They said, you really? I said, yeah, I don't come here very often. Let's do this. So the father and I drove over to the restaurant. He went in, talked to the manager, and then she came out. And I could just describe her as really gaunt, bags under her eyes, really nervous. I knew her. I knew Dad told me her first name. I called her by her first name, and I said, I just like to tell you that I know you can do better in what you're doing right now. And if you just ask God's help, he'll help you. And she just burst into tears, just profusely crying. I said, listen, God's going to help you, but you take that first step and he'll carry you the rest of the way. I reached into my pocket. I gave her a brown scapula. She put it right around her neck, tucked it in her shirt. And I said, listen, you know, you feel like you're trapped and you don't know how to get out. At least say three Hail Marys every day. Ask the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of Jesus, to help you. You know the Hail Mary, she said. She shook her head. And I said, I'll be praying for you. I'm not exaggerating. She came back to church, came back to the sacraments, and in 2 weeks, she was completely clean of the drugs. Now, that's not something that ordinarily happens, but once again, you see God's grace working there. I know of another occasion. I'm sure we've spoken about this in the past, but I was called very late in the middle of the night. One of our parishioners, they had a lot of children. She was going in for a routine surgery, and things didn't go well. Her blood was not clotting. She was just bleeding, and her blood wasn't clotting, giving transfusion after transfusion. Her husband called me up and said, Bishop, you better get down here because I think we're going to lose her. I got down to the hospital, went in to see her, and she looked at me very faintly and said, Bishop, am I going to die? I said, I don't know, but I'll give you extreme unction right now, so be sorry for your sins. I'll give you absolution. And we did all that. When I left the room, the doctor called me off to the side, and he just looked me right in the eyes because he knew, young family, young mother, bunch of kids. He said, you know, we've done all that we can to help her out. There's nothing more we can do. She's in God's hands now. And then I met the dad. He was in a waiting room, and he said, you know, if she doesn't make it, could you come over this morning? We could talk to the kids about how they lost their mom. I said, yeah, just let me know. Next morning came. I didn't have any news. We had Mass. We prayed the rosary before Mass, before school. I still hadn't heard anything. Their kids were in school. So I thought, I really need to know what happened. So I called up the dad, and he sounded like he was half awake. And he said, yeah, about after the time that you visited and gave her extra unction, about an hour later, her blood started to clot. And I think they're going to let her go this afternoon. And I was like, what? I mean, from death's door to this. That had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the sacrament of extreme unction. But it shows the working of God. You don't see grace, but you can see its effects. But there's one last story I'd like to share with you, and it's about the power of prayer. You know, I meet a lot of people, not just around the country, but all around the world. I have a lot of friends, a lot of people I know, South America, Central America, Europe, New Zealand, Australia, everywhere. And you meet some really special people. But I remember knowing this couple for 34 years. I was only a priest for 2 years when I first met them. And, you know, to make conversation, I asked them all, you know, how did you meet and when did you meet? And the wife said, we met in grade school. That's something else. I said, how did you know he liked you? Well, he had a birthday party for his friends. And she said, when I got there, I realized I was the only girl there. I was like, there's all boys here and I'm the only girl. They were married many, many years. The only issue was she and the children went to the sacraments, but he didn't. He would come occasionally, Christmas, Easter, but for 34 years, not going to the sacraments. And his wife prayed very patiently for him. Well, just about maybe 7 months ago, 8 months ago, he came down with cancer. And he had issues, health issues, but he didn't know it was cancer. And they said, we're really sorry to tell you, but this is stage 4 cancer. It is spread. If you take the chemo and the treatments, you might have 6 months. If you don't take it, you might not have a month or two. And when I had heard about this, I told his wife, I said, you know, you tell him anytime he'd like to come to go to confession, I'd be happy to hear his confession or to help him out. But he eventually did. And I asked her, what was the turning point? What made him, you know, all of a sudden decide after 30-something years that I've known you? She said it was after supper. And she said, you know, I think that when I die, that I'll go to heaven and I'll be very happy in heaven. But she said, I'll be more happy if you were with me. And that hit him like, yeah, I'm going to die. And after that, where am I going to go? And then the thought of being away from her, I mean, they'd known each other since grade school. He did not want that either. But I have to tell you this, for a man that had been away for such a long time, his reception of the sacraments was extremely edifying, very devout. What a wonderful change came when he started receiving the sacraments and the grace, you see the grace of God working in him. I mean, very, very edifying. He died a very devout death. That's something, like I say, you can't see grace, but you can see it working in people. And so on this occasion, we have graduates here, and we have our laity here, and we have those who be confirmed after Mass. Let's not underestimate, even though we're all weak, and we all have our temptations and issues that we try to strive to keep God's commandments, we have our battles to fight. God in His grace is always there to help us by prayer and by the sacraments. And you know, for our graduates, I'd like to share one last thought with you. You know, over during this time of the year, we get graduation announcements from kids all over the country, you know, everywhere. And maybe they know it's because the bishop will send them some money. He's a nice guy, I tell you. So if you didn't send me a graduation card, you didn't get any money from me. But it's not too late, I tell you that. You give me a picture of you, your graduation announcement, you might get some money from me. But one of the young ladies sent me her graduation picture, and she was in a field of sunflowers. I mean, it really looked neat. I'm like, man, where'd she take that picture? So I sent her a nice congratulations, a little bit of money. And I mentioned to her, I said, you know, south of Nebraska is the state of Kansas, sometimes called the wheat state, sometimes called the sunflower state. Why? Because they raise sunflowers there. And now we have Interstate 90 come through here, and if you go any further south, it's Interstate 80 through Nebraska and Colorado, or through, I should say, Nebraska and then also through Wyoming. And then Interstate 70 goes through Kansas. Driving through Kansas from one end of the state to the other, The amazing thing is seeing these sunflowers. And if you know anything about sunflowers, the head of a sunflower always faces the sun. And that is a mystery that they finally figured out why, how that works. So as the sun is rising, there's millions and millions of heads of sunflowers facing the sun. And as the sun rises, those heads follow the sun all the way to the west. And at nighttime, their heads go back again. And I'm thinking, that is pretty cool. And when you're driving and you're trying to stay awake and you're looking at millions of sunflower heads facing the sun, you're thinking, now that's cool. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful work of nature. But what they figured out is this. The stem of the sunflower grows one side and the other disproportionately. So in the morning, the side that's facing the east grows, and as it's growing, tilts the head to follow the sun. And at nighttime, the west side of the stem grows and pushes the head back. Pretty neat. Now, what does it have to do about graduation? It has this. You know, like the sunflower head, we have to always face Christ, always be facing Him throughout our lives, and not just throughout our lives, but every day. Face Christ, have Christ be with us in everything we do, and always call upon our Lord and our Blessed Mother and stay close to them. Just as the sun gives energy to that sunflower, so Christ, the Son of God, gives us grace. And what a wonderful thing it is, as St. Paul says, I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini quotes from St. Paul, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Just remember this, all of us, graduates, those to be confirmed, all of us in church, priest, religious, laity, let us remember God's grace is going to be the factor in our life, the factor that's going to help us to get to heaven. But we get that through prayer and receiving the sacraments. Let us be all resolved to pray our prayers faithfully and receive the sacraments fervently. And as we've said so often, I'd like to conclude with this. You never know. You never know. When you go to confession or communion, this may be your very last confession, your very last communion. So let's always appreciate the sacraments when we receive them. Be grateful to God. And receive them with fervor, not out of routine or through, you know, just some type of casual whatever. No, receive them fervently. Because it's with our dispositions, that is the amount of graces that we will receive in order to, once again, be faithful to Christ and to be good, strong, and soldiers of Christ. So prayer and the sacraments. Let's remember that those sources of grace, we all need them. And especially whenever we have that opportunity, receive it as if that's going to be your very last time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Right after Mass, right when we're done with the last gospel, I'm going to take the chasuble and maniple off. We'll get to copon. Those to be confirmed, come right to the communion rail. And just remember, those who are sponsors, at the time of confirmation, put your right hand on the right shoulder. And those who are sponsors, you're like a spiritual parent to those to be confirmed. Remember to pray for them and exhort them to the practice of their faith.